Bible Study Chapter 6. Live like those who resemble Christ. The body bought with a price, he who is joined to the Lord. Are you a person who is currently living inside the community of faith? Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more, things that pertain to this life? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. A person who spiritually follows the Word of God naturally comes to live a life trying to make his conduct upright. This is not simply decorating outward behavior, but it is a change that comes from a life of faith that considers the Word of God as the standard of faith, and at the same time tries to establish one's own faith uprightly. The Bible says that a life following the Word of God changes a person's behavior and attitude toward life. Psalm chapter 119, verse 9 says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." This word means that when the Word of God is taken as the standard of a life of faith, that person's conduct becomes upright. Also, James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." A person who follows the Word of God does not live a life that simply hears the Word and remains in knowledge, but is one who tries to put the Word of God into practice. Therefore, his words and actions, his attitude in treating people, and the direction of his life gradually tries to live in alignment with the standard of the Word of God. Discernment arises in a person who spiritually follows the Word of God by faith. Through the Word, he comes to judge what is right before God and what is wrong. Such discernment guides a person to a more careful and upright life. Therefore, he always looks back on himself to see if his actions are proper before God. Also, a person who lives following the Word of God comes to have a humble attitude. He does not take his own thoughts or desires as an absolute standard, but looks back on himself based on the standard of the Word of God. This attitude leads a person of faith to a more careful and upright life of faith. Of course, even if one is a person who follows the Word of God, there is no righteous person who does not make mistakes. Because human beings still have weaknesses, they can sometimes make mistakes or show shortcomings. However, the important difference is the direction of that life. Those who follow the Word of God by faith try to return to the life of faith that God wants when they realize their life is wrong. Ultimately, a person who follows the Word of God with faith, believing in the Word of the Gospel of the water and the Spirit, tries to align his life to the standard of the Word. So he comes to live a life where his actions and attitude of faith gradually change uprightly. The reason his conduct becomes upright is because he tries to live by faith, believing in the Word of God. Why do those who unite with unrighteousness not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. The Bible clearly says that a person who unites with unrighteousness and continues to follow that life cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This does not simply mean a one-time mistake or weakness, but it points to a state of setting unrighteousness as the purpose of life and continuously living together following sin. The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And he mentions various forms of sin, such as sexual immorality, idolatry, adultery, greed, drunkenness, insult, and extortion. Paul is clearly stating that such a life is a life that is incompatible with the kingdom of God. The important point here is the expression unites with unrighteousness. This is not a matter of whether a person has committed a sin once, but it means a state of accepting unrighteousness as one's way of life and living together with it. Because the life of the kingdom of God is a life moving toward the righteousness and holiness of God, a life continuously combined with unrighteousness does not suit a person who lives by faith, believing in the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Also in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, while explaining the works of the flesh, Paul warns that those who continue to follow such a life will not inherit the kingdom of God. This shows that the kingdom of God is not a simple religious affiliation, but is deeply connected to the direction of life and the state of the mind. However, the Bible simultaneously adds an important fact. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, Paul says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." This word shows the fact that even a person who previously lived in sin can be changed by the grace of God. Therefore, the teaching of the Bible is not simple condemnation, but has the following meaning. The life of the kingdom of God is not a life together with unrighteousness, but a life living according to the righteousness of God. If a person continuously chooses a life united with unrighteousness, he walks a path opposite to the direction of the kingdom of God. However, God always wants a person to turn from that path and return to the path of righteousness and truth. Ultimately, the life that inherits the kingdom of God is not a life following unrighteousness, but a life living for the preaching of the gospel of the water and the Spirit that pleases God, which is a life that continues to be newly transformed within the Word of God. Paul draws an uncompromising line. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? He lists a specific catalog of sins, which is not to threaten the saints, but to remind them of what kind of beings they were in the past. And a decisive reversal follows. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. This passage is the part where the gospel of the water and the Spirit shines most clearly. Washing refers to the event where the sins of the world were transferred onto the body of Jesus through his baptism. Sanctification refers to being set apart as God's possession. Justification is the result of the judgment of sin ending on the cross, and in the Spirit of our God is God's evidence confirming that salvation. The transformation of a saint is not a gradual moral improvement, but a transfer of the identity of salvation that has already occurred. Must the body of the one who has received the removal of sins exist for the Lord? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. and God both raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by his power. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. According to the teaching of the Bible, the body of a person who has received the removal of sins must be used for a life that exists for the Lord. This means that a person's body is not simply a tool to satisfy personal desires, but is given for a life that fulfills the will of God. The Apostle Paul clearly explains this fact in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, "The body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13. This word shows that a believer is not a being who uses his own body however he pleases, but a being related to the Lord. God does not only save a person's soul, but he sees the person's entire life as belonging to God. Also, Paul continues and says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God?" 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. This word means that the body of a believer is not a simple physical flesh, but a being like a temple where the Spirit of God dwells. Therefore, a believer must not use his body without any purpose, but must use it for a life that gives glory to God. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 as well, Paul exhorts, "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God." What is spoken here does not mean a simple religious ritual, but an attitude of offering one's entire life to God. It means to live in the awareness that our bodies, time, actions, and the direction of life belong to God. Therefore, the direction of life that appears in a person who has received the extinction of sins is clear. He no longer tries to use his body as an instrument of sin, but comes to have a heart to use it for a life that fulfills the will of God. This is not forced against one's will, but is an attitude of gratitude and dedication that naturally appears in a person who realizes the grace bestowed by God. Ultimately, the teaching of the Bible is this: the body of a person who has received the blotting out of sins by believing the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit is no longer just for himself, but is an instrument of life belonging to God. So a believer tries to live giving glory to God through his life and body. This is the new direction of life that appears in a person who has received the removal of sins. The people of the Corinthian church used to say, "All things are lawful for me." Paul does not entirely deny this saying, but immediately establishes a standard of control. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. The gospel of the water and the Spirit does not drive the saints back into the slavery of the law, but neither does it leave them to mistake indulgence for freedom. Paul resolutely declares, "Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." The reason is clear: "And God both raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by his power." The body of a saint is neither an instrument of sin nor a personal possession. Hoping for the resurrection, it belongs to the Lord. Because it is a body already saved from sin, it cannot be used as if it still belongs to sin. Must we live as belonging to Christ? "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two," he says, "shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. The Bible clearly teaches that a believer must live as belonging to Christ. This is not a simple religious expression, but means the fact that the affiliation and direction of life of a person who has received salvation belong to Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says this in Romans chapter 14, verse 8. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. This word shows the fact that the life of a believer is no longer a life only for himself, but a life belonging to the Lord. It means that for a person who has received salvation, the center of his life has become Jesus Christ, not himself. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, Paul says that you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. Here, the expression bought at a price explains that believers have come to belong to God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it means that a saint is not a being who uses his life however he pleases, but must live as a person belonging to God. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 as well, Paul expresses his life like this: I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. This word shows the fact that the life of a person of faith has changed from self-centered to Christ-centered. A believer still lives in this world, but the purpose and center of that life become a life directed toward Christ. Living as belonging to Christ includes several meanings. First, the center of life is not oneself, but the preaching of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Second, it is trying to live one's life within the will of God for the preaching of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Third, it is a life that conveys the direction of life of trying to live according to the gospel and teachings of Jesus Christ. However, such a life of faith is not a life lived by being forced against one's will, but a phenomenon that naturally appears in the heart. From the day one realizes the truth of God's gospel of the water and the Spirit. A person who deeply realizes the grace of salvation bestowed by God comes to accept with joy the fact that his life belongs to God. Ultimately, the core of faith that the Bible speaks of is this: a believer is no longer a being who lives only for himself, but is one who must live a life for the preaching of his gospel, as a person belonging to Jesus Christ. This is the life of living as belonging to Christ that the Bible speaks of. Paul throws a question carrying an immense weight. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? The gravity of this question cannot be overemphasized. A saint who has been saved from sin by the gospel of the water and the Spirit is a being whose physical body itself is united with Christ, not just the soul belonging to Christ. Paul makes this clear. He who is joined to a harlot becomes one body with her, but he who is joined to the Lord is one body with Christ. Must one offer one's body as belonging to Christ? Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. The Bible says a believer must offer his body as belonging to Christ. This does not simply mean a religious ritual or outward dedication, but refers to an attitude of faith that acknowledges one's entire life as belonging to God. The Apostle Paul exhorts like this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. What is spoken of here is offering a person's life itself to God, unlike the old sacrifices of offering up offerings. A believer is called to serve God and give glory to God through his body and life. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." This word shows that a believer's body is not simply a personal possession, but an instrument of life belonging to God. Offering one's body as belonging to Christ includes several meanings. First, it is acknowledging the fact that the master of one's life is not oneself, but belongs to Christ. Second, it is having the heart to use one's body for the work of preaching God's gospel, rather than using it as an instrument of sin and fleshly desires. Third, it is living a life that gives glory to God through words, actions, and the direction of life. Such dedication of faith is not done by force, but is a faith that appears in a person who has realized the word of God's gospel of the water and the Spirit. A person who deeply realizes the word of the gospel of salvation bestowed by God lives joyfully just by the single fact that his life belongs to God. Ultimately, the life of faith that the Bible speaks of is not simply believing in God only with the heart, but a life of offering one's body and entire life to God. A believer is one who is called to serve God by offering his body as belonging to Christ, and to live a life that reveals God's glory through that life. Paul concludes, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" A saint is not one who goes seeking God, but a temple where God himself dwells, because they have become bought at a price. That price was paid because they obtained salvation by believing in the Lord, who had the sins of the world transferred to him through the baptism Jesus received from John, received the judgment of sin on the cross, and resurrected from death. Paul ends with an exhortation of faith. "Therefore glorify God in your body." This is not a condition for obtaining salvation, but the direction of a life of faith given to those who are already saved. 1 Corinthians 6 asks us today, "Are you still living considering your body as your own? Or are you living as the Lord's body, which was bought by paying the price of sin through the gospel of the water and the Spirit?"